Good morning, my name is Raylene Ng, an epidemiologist at the California STD Control Branch, and today I'll be presenting some different approaches that we've taken to try and find ways of maximizing our syphilis case finding efforts in light of increasingly limited field investigation resources. So for background, early syphilis in California has been increasing steadily since 1999, particularly among men who have sex with men. In the California Project area, only 7 of our 59 jurisdictions actually account for 75% of our early syphilis morbidity. However, the number of jurisdictions that are reporting syphilis cases has been increasing, so we are concerned that syphilis continues to spread. At the same time, California, much like the rest of the nation, has been undergoing a severe economic crisis. Our federal, state, and local budgets have been cut. Our state and local staff are undergoing furloughs and layoffs, and positions left vacant by layoffs aren't being replaced due to lack of funding. So the remaining responsibilities are being redistributed among a fairly depleted staff. Also, within the past year, much of our state and local staff have been redirected to deal with California's H1N1 outbreak response, which just adds another responsibility to an already pretty full plate. So in light of these challenges, our objective was to evaluate some standard DIS investigation strategies for syphilis case finding in California and to inform program modifications for maximizing our field investigation resources. So we specifically targeted three investigation strategies. The first was early syphilis case re-interviews. So we were interested in how much effort is being expended on conducting re-interviews, and are those re-interviews successfully identifying partners, identifying partners during this entire presentation to mean newly infected partners or preventatively treated partners. And part of the impetus for this particular analysis was feedback from our DIS saying, you know, it just feels like we're spending a lot of effort trying to track people down for re-interviews and we're not getting anything out of it. The second investigation strategy was early latent syphilis case interviews. Specifically, we wanted to see if we could shorten the standard 12-month interview period for partner follow-up. And then lastly, we were interested in comparing the partner yield for in-person versus phone interviews, given that in-person interviews are typically viewed as the gold standard for syphilis case investigation. So for our data, we used interviews of early syphilis cases diagnosed in the California Project area between January 1st, 2007 and December 31st, 2008. Specifically, we assessed the number of newly infected and preventatively treated partners. And using that total number of partners, we calculated a disease intervention index for each investigation method. And just for some context, the disease intervention index is a traditional measure of intervention effectiveness that is used by CDC to evaluate program performance, particularly around partner services. So essentially, per case investigation, how successful are we at eliciting partners, at identifying new partner infections, or getting them preventatively treated? So for our re-interviews, we stratify by the number of weeks to re-interview. So how does timeliness of re-interview affect partner yield? We stratify by the 7 jurisdictions that account for 75% of our morbidity. And lastly, we stratify by sexual orientation to see if there was, if effort should be focused towards a particular demographic. And then for each of those stratifications, we calculated a disease intervention index to equal the number of partners identified via re-interview divided by the number of cases re-interviewed. Then for early latent case interview, looking at the interview period, we stratify by the time between a partner's last sexual exposure to the index case to the index case interview. So our first group looked at partners last exposed up to 3 months before the index case interview. Our second group looked at 4 to 6 months, and then 7 to 12 months. And then our index equaled the number of partners identified within each month interval divided by the number of cases that reported partners within those specific month intervals. And then lastly, we had planned on doing the in-person versus phone interview comparison. However, when we started looking at it, we realized that this particular comparison was subject to some extreme bias in California, because in-person interviews being the gold standard are attempted for every single case. And if the case doesn't agree to an in-person interview, they default to a phone interview if they end up getting interviewed at all. So obviously, cases who agree to a phone interview probably less likely to provide information to a DIS compared to cases that agreed to meet in person. So unfortunately, we decided we need to take a different approach, completely different analysis with this particular comparison before we could make any meaningful conclusions. So unfortunately, results are not included in this presentation today. So for results, 3,353 early syphilis cases were diagnosed in the California Project area between January 1st, 2007 and December 31st, 2008. Of those, 86% were interviewed, and of those interviewed, 751 cases were re-interviewed. MSM do account for 70% of the cases in California, and the highest proportion of cases were ages 40 to 49, making up about 30%. So again, 751 cases were re-interviewed. Of those, 86% didn't yield any additional partners on re-interview. Of the remaining 106 cases that did yield partners, we had 321 re-interview partners initiated. Of those, 13 new infections were found, and 64 partners were preventatively treated for a disease intervention index of 0.10. So of our 321 partners elicited, 24% were either a new infection or they were preventatively treated. However, the disease intervention index of 0.10 says that re-interviews aren't really all that successful at yielding partners. When we stratified by time to re-interview, we saw 342 cases were re-interviewed, which is about 50% of the total re-interviews, done within 7 days of the original interview, and identified eight of the 13 new infections, and 47 of the 64 preventative treatments for a disease intervention index of 0.16. In the second week, 187 additional re-interviews were done with 2 new infections identified and 12 preventative treatments. And then once we passed that 2-week mark, we saw diminishing returns on the re-interviews. So 216 re-interviews done more than 2 weeks after the original interview with only 8 new infections or preventative treatments identified. And so while the prior slide showed re-interview productivity overall not particularly effective in yielding partners, it might be worth saying target re-interviews within 2 weeks of the original interviews. Otherwise, beyond that, they really aren't effective in yielding partners. When we stratify by our 7 high morbidity jurisdictions, we see in jurisdictions A and B on the left-hand side, over 100 re-interviews conducted in each of those jurisdictions with relatively few new partner infections or preventative treatments. And really, that's the same situation for all of the other jurisdictions, just with fewer re-interviews done. In jurisdiction D, we had 123 partners elicited, which seems great, but 70 of those partners were from a single case, and 69 of those 70 were closed as unable to locate or located and refused exam. So if we remove that one outlier from jurisdiction D, it starts to look a little more consistent with all of the other jurisdictions. Also probably worth noting, jurisdictions A, B, C, and D, all on the left-hand side, all have state-assigned staff handling case management, while jurisdictions E, F, and G on the right-hand side are all managed by local DIS. However, what this slide says is regardless of where the re-interviews are being done or which staff are doing them, re-interview productivity is low compared to the number of re-interviews that are being done. Lastly, our stratification by sexual orientation. Again, 70% of our cases are MSM. So we have more MSM re-interviews because we had more of them to start with. However, the disease intervention indices between all of them are fairly similar, which says that per re-interview, partner follow-up outcomes between MSM, male heterosexuals, and females are not all that different. And then lastly, our early latent interview period analysis. 1,027 interviewed early latent cases. 41% of them did not yield any partners. Of the remaining 59%, we stratified by the month intervals, and in the first group, we see 424 early latent cases reported having 809 sex partners up to 3 months before the index case interview, and 265 new infections or preventatively treated partners were identified. And then we have diminishing returns when we look at the 4 to 6 month period and the 7 to 12 month period. So most early latent cases who report partners are reporting partners from within a 3-month interview period. And overall, 96% of the new infections or preventatively treated partners that we identified from early latent cases were within a 6-month interview period. So in conclusion, the majority of our re-interview efforts do not identify new partner infections or result in preventative treatments. However, re-interviews done within 2 weeks of the original interview do yield more partners than re-interviews done more than 2 weeks after the original interview. And the majority of newly identified partner infections and preventatively treated partners to early latent cases are from within a 6-month interview period. Some limitations, inaccurate documentation of a re-interview. Some of our index cases without a re-interview indicated on their form had partners specifically initiated through re-interview. So it's possible that we are underestimating our re-interviews and our re-interview partners because we can't tell that a re-interview was done. Multiple objectives in conducting a re-interview. While the rule of thumb is that we are to assess for partners every time we encounter a patient, in reality that might not be the case when the re-interview is actually occurring. And lastly, potential lack of comparability between jurisdictions makes it difficult to assess what's happening statewide. Investigation protocols between jurisdictions can vary depending on if local or state staff have the ultimate say in prioritizing disease investigation activities. Also, differences in burden of disease, jurisdictions with more cases and less staff are going to have a harder time completing timely interviews or just case investigations in general compared to well-staffed jurisdictions. However, based on our findings, some recommendations: re-interview cases within 2 weeks of the original interview and to decrease the early latent syphilis interview period to 6 months. Some future analysis on our end to update all of these data through 2009. Also to look at the case profiles of cases that we do get partner information on to see if we can better target our interview efforts in general. And a randomization of the in-person and phone interviews to assess the highest partner yield for that comparison. And some ongoing activity at the state to continue communication of these data with our DIS and STD controllers to collaborate with them to identify ways to more effectively use our resources for STD prevention. And that is all I have. Just want to acknowledge our wonderful DIS who are toughing it out back in California. Are there any questions? Or do we have time for questions?
Can I have a couple quick questions? Riley, I was wondering, did you look at the same kind of outcomes for like PNS cases? And also, you talked about the re-interviews. Did you look at initial interviews? I mean, is there any evidence that any of it is working?
That is a fantastic question, Bob.
Besto's at the end, remember?
So that's a good question. Are partner services even for syphilis working in general? We did look at the original interview. We didn't look at it too in-depth, although we do have the results for that if you want to talk later, because we were specifically looking at re-interview productivity. What's kind of the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, that we can address immediately? But we do have the results for the original interview if you want to talk about that. And your other question was regarding...
Well, you looked at early latent case. Did you look at PNS cases?
For the interview period?
For the outcomes that you were looking at in terms of your disease intervention index?
For the second one, that the interview period, we did not look at that for PNS cases. For the first analysis, it was for all early cases. And we stratified that by PNS and early, and we didn't see a big difference between the re-interview outcomes, so we combined everything together. But for the second analysis, we didn't look at PNS. We were looking at early latent specifically.
Yes, one more question, go ahead.
With the advent of Craigslist and some of the sex websites and the anonymous nature of those, how are you finding that is affecting your partner index?
That is, as far as I'm aware, having a pretty significant impact on our partner index because in California, 70% of our cases are MSM. A very high proportion of them are meeting their partners on the internet. And so when we go to do partner notification, a lot of it is screen names, email addresses. So when we look at the field records that get initiated, particularly for the, you saw the 123 and the 70 partners were from a single case, a lot of them were kind of Bob unknown or, you know, bob@aol.com, things like that. So I imagine that that's having a huge impact on our ability to find partners. Also, a lot of anonymous partners coming out that we don't have any information at all other than he has brown hair and blue eyes. So,
okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.